This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks. They have more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. And we have a special offer, free audiobook. That's right, free of your choice. All you got to do is head on over to audiblepodcast.com/Drew. Again, that is audiblepodcast.com/Drew.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, welcome to Dr. Drew Podcast. A reminder, we have put up on the website some of the things that I'm just throwing stuff up on the website that I enjoy, that I think is important, like the 3 minutes, 5 minutes with Mike. I think those are cool. Put up The Boy with the Gun by Brandon Stongsdale. If you listened to his, we had two episodes with him where he talked about his incredible life, and this book chronicles that. You can click through at Amazon or get it at doctor.com. And then The Swingin' Sounds, which you just heard. That's stuff that I find interesting and fun, and you guys seem to enjoy. Episode 61 is where you can hear Brandon Stongsdale. And please don't forget to support the people that support the pirate ship here at Corolla Network. What we say about them, we mean. It's not just stuff we're not talking out of our butts. We actually mean the people that are kind enough to support here. We want to support them. And, of course, click through at Amazon. Now, I am delighted to have with me Fred Stoller.
Stoller.
That's, of course, right. The first thing I do is mispronounce your name.
That's how you're not supposed to know.
Yeah. And here's – the book is – he has a book out. It's called Maybe We'll Have You Back, The Life of a Perennial TV Star. And my first reaction to that
– sure.
And I bet you it's most people's reaction is – oh, Fred Stoller, that's that guy.
Right.
That's that guy. And I would argue that by being the perennial guest star, you're more iconic than almost any star. Maybe you haven't made as much money as them.
No,
maybe that's
it's
the issue.
It's frustrating in a way because I did one Seinfeld, the 8 Raymonds, and people think I'm rich.
Well,
like,
yeah.
They
yeah.
point to the Hollywood Hills. You must live up there. And they want to point their arm. No, over there.
See, Gardenia? That's where it is.
Yeah. So it's nice, but the illusion, like, you know what's now? Women will look me up on the IMDb if there's a date and think I'm rich because there's
so much stuff.
But it's only one-time thing. See, I've never had a home.
Yeah.
I'm like a foster kid going from show to show, hoping one keeps me on.
Yes.
And a lot of stuff in the book, how you're sitting around at a table read. You know what that is?
Oh, yeah. Like people,
and they're applauding. Yeah, we got picked up. We're going to the Emmys. We're getting plasma TVs. And you have to clap along, but you're not getting it. Or when I was on Raymond, Brad Garrett would always rib Raymond how rich he was. And he goes, hey, Ray, you have so much money. And he was making $300,000 an episode.
Wow.
I was making $3,000.
Well, okay, now let's talk about that because people don't understand that. People assume if you're on television.
Yeah, they hear what Larry David gets.
Let me tell you, someone on cable news, I feel your pain.
Oh, no.
And radio. And then the fact is, you know, Larry David made hundreds of millions. But that's the extreme exception.
He created the show.
He created, wrote, controlled, sold. He had every aspect of it under his name. Nobody has that. Or you're the star like Raymond. Let's say even Brett.
Well, what happened with they were getting smart, the guest stars, where they get – I was going to say just salaries. Like on Friends, they were getting a million an episode. And
Jesus.
This was in the beginning of the book – I was talking about the craft service at Darman Greg, and I said, they were really nasty. These are nice. And Matt LeBlanc looks at me, shakes his head with wonderment. You've been on every show, man. What show have you not been on? And I went, yeah, but add them all together. They don't add a week of your work.
So, in terms of reimbursement.
Yeah, salary.
Yeah, right.
So it's this illusion, you know. But what I was going to say about – oh, yeah. So Friends, they were making a million an episode. But then when I was on Raymond – they got savvy because now some big guest star, I bet they'll do it in Modern Family, where they want a 5% of the syndication.
The guest star?
No, each of the stars. Please, yeah. I can't hold out for anything. I could have a drop-dead flu, and they don't wait for you. You're a guest star guy. You know what I mean? That stuff like that's in the book. Like, we're walking on eggshells. We can't flub a line and crack up and hug them in the gag reel.
It's don't fuck up, whatever
yes.
it is. If you'd been a guest star on The Love Boat, was it the same thing, or did those guys get treated differently?
Well, they were celebrity guest stars.
I see.
That's different.
Well, I would argue you're that.
I would argue
you're more than that because you have an iconic character.
You know,
and
you would think there's a funny story in here. Well, my book funny. No. I auditioned for a Fred Stoller type and didn't get it. So I got to a point
give me somebody who's like Fred Stoller.
Yeah,
not,
I wasn't good
Fred
enough. I rose to where I'm a type, but still they know they could give me anything and make me audition and not give it to me. So, yeah, it's frustrating because, well, I got lucky I got some animation. Mm. And I could walk through the Grove. Everyone will recognize me from Wizards of Waverly Place. These millionaire guys like Tom Kenny, no one knows them.
Tom is SpongeBob. Voice.
Yes, and then probably 30 other things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's great.
Partner's a monkey, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Everything. So again, it's only frustrating that, like, I walk through the Grove. I'm always there. I had seen you doing training stuff, so I didn't want to bother you. You did something in the mornings there?
We used to do stuff we had that show, The Life Changers, and we'd pick stuff up there once in a while. Yeah.
So people will go, hey, do you need an assistant? Or and I'm going, I'm just walking. Like the TMZ people would it's funny.
Yeah, they're always there. TMZ's always at the Grove.
They did a thing where they're making fun of me. Who's this loser? Who is he? And I go, I didn't ask to be on TMZ. So, yeah, so that's the thing where, yeah, so that's the book just – I'm not a big sports guy. I'm really into the NBA, so I always love the guys that the stories that they are in the European League or in their 10-day contract and they're trying to stay in the majors. So that's what guys.
That's
been,
you can relate to that.
Yeah. So this is like things like with dressing rooms and which ones give you a toilet. And when I did Friends the first time, that was the first time I got a dressing room with a bathroom. You know, and so then I came back and there was no. It was a shitty dressing room. Oh, the Friends stars, they tore down the guest dressing room so they could have a private gym.
Oh, my God.
So if you see the second time, Matt LeBlanc is more muscular, and I'm rushing to get the scene over with.
So you can go pee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You did Carolla's podcast. What did he want to know about all this? I'm just curious.
You know something?
Because he focuses in on weird stuff.
He actually – he glossed over it. He didn't really examine – I think he was on some rants. It was the Cleveland stuff.
Wait, slow down. You mean Adam was just talking a lot during the podcast, wasn't letting you talk? But hold on.
Change it up a little bit.
Hold up. Yeah, change up the podcast a bit. Okay.
Well, he looked at the – hey, maybe we'll have you back. And the book could have been called I Drooled All Over My Mother – and, you know, I threw things off the street. Yeah, he didn't really examine and microscope.
He wasn't interested.
Oh, you're the guest star guy. Let's talk about that. No, it was more he was – I think we talked about some porno thing I went to, and we were talking about seeing live sex shows.
Really?
Yeah, and then – well, it's weird. Yeah, what was the guy in Cleveland – we just went on tangents.
That held the women hostage, that whole thing?
Yeah. Well, you know, I found out.
Jody Arias? You went to Jody Arias?
Yeah. It was Jody Arias.
Strange, he's never discussed Jody Arias with me. I've been
Cleveland.
Covering it for 6 months. He's never discussed it once. Have we discussed one second of Jody Arias?
No, because I guess they cover the news. Like,
Right.
I don't know. We just got on one. I think with him, you just got to go on one little turn and forget it. This thing is in the dust. You know what I mean? There's no book. There's.
He said apparently you had a one night stand with Kathy Griffin, and that came up.
Yes.
You look uncomfortable.
Oh, that's right. I did talk about that.
That makes you uncomfortable.
No. Yeah. Oh,
let me just start with this. Let me just start with this.
Sure.
According to Anderson Cooper, gentlemen, sit down. The carpet matches the drapes.
Yeah, yeah. How does he know? Wait a minute.
Because she sexted him. Texting him.
Oh, my God.
Of herself naked on his couch.
I want to talk about a problem, an addiction I have.
We have
doing
to first finish with Kathy.
Okay, so basically what happened was, this was in 92, and I was at a party, and she came up to me. This is a drinking thing. This is interesting. I only drink if just to have something in my hand. I'm not like a problem drinker, I don't think. Actually, my brother-in-law goes, he made me go to this thing, Emotions Anonymous.
Yeah.
When I first moved
to LA. Those are hard to find. Good for you.
Well, the thing is, when I first moved to LA, hello, surprise, I was very depressed and isolated and freaked out, which I still am 25 years later. So sometimes these guys proselytize. Is that the word?
Proselytize.
Proselytize. Yeah. Like, if they think the program saved you, and he goes, you got all the equivalent of a drunk. I go, I don't really drink. And he goes, there are sister programs, EA.
Yeah.
And no one except you thinks, everyone thinks I'm making up Emotions Anonymous.
No, it exists. But I know I know who attends there, though. I know who goes.
It's very
vague. It's a certain type. It's a certain
it's very,
thing.
You see, I'm going on a tangent.
And by the way, I have no problem with it. It helps some people. I would not send you there.
Okay. Now, I'm going on another tangent. I envy alcoholics only because it's black and white. I always hear a story, Jerry was fucked up. He went to A, got it around, got married. Yeah. I wish I had something so black and white.
Right.
You know,
something that could make you flourish all of a sudden.
Right. All of a sudden, Fred, quit doing that. Yeah. So, like, I do have probably an addictive – I drown out my thoughts. When I first moved to Manhattan, I would listen to the radio and go from station to station trying to drown out my thoughts. Then I took a scissor and I cut the cord of the radio so I could stop doing that.
And I would put you – even before you told me that, now I'm confirming what I was going to say, which is you're sort of in the obsessive compulsive – depressive category. That's sort of where we put
you're safe with depressive.
But OCD, that's all OCD stuff.
I've gotten better,
And intrusive thoughts and repetitive thinking and stuff, bad thoughts.
When I got a cat, my OCD really came in because they said when you get a kitten.
It's like your breast coming in, the OCD comes in.
Well, because I think the OCD is my bad thing will happen to someone outside of me.
Yeah.
So they said, always keep the toilet lid down because kittens drown in toilets.
Yeah.
So I would look, and I'd have to look three times. I didn't realize I had OCD, but I had to do it threes. I think what it comes from is I didn't trust my feelings or my eyesight that the lid was down.
Here's the deal. Your brain's trying to make sense of nonsensical, repetitive, ritualistic behaviors that your brain is just making you do.
Really?
And your cognitive brain is going, what the hell was that? Why am I doing that? Oh, it must be.
Well, no.
It's just you're trying to fill in where the biology is just off.
Really? Because my mother, like if I was sad, you're not sad, I'll give you something to cry about. Or if somebody was mean to me in school, maybe it's you. So I think I wasn't brought up to trust my feelings. So I'll give you another pathetic example. I was in a Carrot Top movie, and the most people that went were at the cast and crew screening. So I never, as an actor, had my name in the beginning of the titles.
And by the way, I've never had anything but the most gracious, lovely interaction with Carrot Top, the man.
Oh, I'm not saying anything
bad.
But
I'm just saying,
him.
Whenever people shit on him, I always think, oh, he
was so nice.
He's such a nice guy.
No.
I feel bad for it. People crap
No. He's in on the joke, though. He's having fun.
Yes, he is. That's right.
So then it said Fred Stoller in this thing, and I said, I sat to someone sitting next to me, go, that was my name, right? Like, so I think there's a part of me that doesn't trust my feelings and almost doesn't trust my eyesight. Is that, you think, part of the OCD?
It's you making sense of the OCD. The OCD is just, I have to repeat. Did I turn the oven off before I left? Oh, yes, I remember it vividly, but I have to go back and do it. I have to go back.
So we're rationalizing it.
You're rationalizing the repetitive behaviors, right?
Wow.
And it's a different part of your brain. Your frontal lobe is trying to understand what your temporal lobe is making you do. And it's like you can struggle all day with that.
I think I've cured it.
It can get better. It can get better with cognition than sometimes, and it can get better with mood. You know, it usually gets worse with mood. It's an anxiety thing. So when you're anxious,
but
you're depressed, it gets worse.
It got more bad when I thought my negligence will kill my cat. And people have that with their kids. Oh, the Kathy Gray. Oh, Emotions Anonymous. It was very vague. It's like, I'd like it. Hey, I'm an alcoholic. I'm Steve. I'm nervous and depressed. It was just sort of But I tried, and
I would recommend real therapy would be much better for you. True one, the real
yeah,
therapy.
He's
not going to do that much.
Kathy Griffin. Okay, so I was drinking a beer,
and
she goes, "Yellow light, proceed with caution." He's drinking, so she was label something. I go, "Nah, I don't really drink." So she was had some assessment, which is flattering, I guess, that she wanted reassurance, I'm not a drinker. But she was saying out loud what her concern was.
And then you had sex with her?
Yes, I think so.
After she took issue with the beer.
Oh, I had sex with a woman after she put a knife to her cat's throat.
Okay. If somebody lets you, you'll happily.
Well, I know rationally that this is damage, but then when you're in the moment, I go, I'm never seeing this person again, but you still.
The cat that you know you're going to see.
She did sicker things than that. Well, that was nothing saying proceed with caution compared to what she did.
What'd she do?
Well, we had a date, and I showed up at her apartment. This is 92 before she was my life on the D list, meaning big mansion. I'm the D-list. You know what I'm saying? She's not D-list, please. But she was in a little place on Centinella. So we're trying to decide where to go, movie, eat. And she goes, I'm wet. And I like that. I know guys say I love when they play a game. I like when you bludgeon me. So I took the confidence to
proceed.
Yeah. Yes, that's a good way to phrase it. When they say you're wet, yeah. They're wet, which no one said after or
good
before.
For her.
Yes, I love her for that.
Yeah.
So we were kissing and doing stuff. And when people say, do you have sex, I want to give Kathy the benefit of the doubt because I'm saying stuff about her, but I'm also self-effacing me. I'm not good with condoms where what's the definition of – what's the word? I'm getting old, but I can't think of words. I'm impotent. If you're hard –
You lose your erection when you try to put a condom on.
When you're pushing. But some women, I could do it. They're very wet. So they go, oh, it's okay. But no, maybe you're the one it's not okay because you're not very wet.
Right, right.
Why are some women you could go with a condom? Most I push and blech and it.
It goes right in.
No. But with Kathy.
You didn't consummate.
Yeah.
You were not.
Well, but we did other stuff.
Good.
To,
that's
to
good.
To brag about.
That's good. That's good. And everybody happy at the end?
No.
No?
She just saw a TV movie about a man who batters – no, a woman batters men.
She just – that when you were together, she had just seen that film.
Yes. Okay. It was a TV movie, and she goes, oh, I'd like to hit men. Could I hit you in the face?
Oh.
And I have TMJ. I have ligament damage from an assault. So I said, no, I don't want – I don't think that's good. She goes, I have hostility at men. I go, why? She goes, they rape, they go to strip clubs, and they see porno. And I made a joke. I said, I only do two of those three. And then
she punched you.
No, I was like flinching a lot. So then,
are you guys still friends?
I worked on Suddenly Susan, the book. She did some things I didn't like, actually worse than that one night stand. But she went on a show and she kept bothering me on Suddenly Susan. I was playing a gay guy. She was going, you're homophobic. You're not holding Bill's hand, telling on me. I'm the guest star, and I don't want Brooke Shields to get mad I'm being homophobic, which I wasn't. So she's a ball buster. Sometimes the people you're familiar with are the biggest ball busters when you're doing a guest star, like Norm MacDonald was. Caroline Ray was kind of nasty.
Seems like you're sort of sensitive, though, too.
That's
to
why.
To be fair. Because Kathy, I don't think has a – You know, she's tough, but I don't think she has a hurtful bone in her body. You know what I mean? I think she'd be hurt if she knows she hurt you. I do.
She went on Howard Stern and told that Brooke Shields' mother was drunk at Brooke Shields' wedding. That's hurtful.
Was it, or was it just factual?
Brooke didn't. No, she's not. You know something? I actually liked her, and I was hurt that she was like, we went out one more time after that, my birthday party, and she goes, we're not a couple, and she was looking at my friends, and she said, I usually hang out with cool people like Ben Stiller. What am I doing here? So,
but she's sometimes that's her humor, though.
Well,
right?
Let me ask you something.
Yeah,
people like her, they go, "Oh, Kathy's being Kathy." So if you own your assholeness, well, that's not the word for her. Then people get away with stuff. But I'll, in defense of them, people bullies to me. I'm self-effacing. I'm not like, hey, I'm a tough guy like Adam. No one would bully Adam. But I open up and that
you're sensitive.
Yes.
And that's what's good about you. It's what's endearing. But you have to carry all that shit around.
I know.
So I've now got a whole list of crap I want to talk to you about. So let's start with I can take Kathy and EA off my list.
One time, let me tell you a funny EA story.
Yeah.
One time, I went there during Halloween, and one woman was dressed up as a mouse. And ears and nose. And no, she started crying.
And nobody sort of brought it
no
up.
No one brought it up. She was crying. And I have trouble emoting. My parents and they're patting her. It would have been okay. She said, I feel funny. I'm a mouse. Anyway, there was a mouse crying at an EA meeting.
Now, you said you had you pointed at a Band-Aid on your arm and you said you have an addiction problem.
Okay. Well, listen.
So you have a Band-Aid on your shoulder.
Well, let me tell you. Tell me if this is what addictive people do. I have a thing, and I hate to put pressure on you, but I'm saying, Dr. Drew will help me with this.
Okay.
And I was really going crazy with my problem because my excuse for going crazy is you'll give me an answer. First of all, I don't want to turn people off with TMI, but the book's lighthearted. I'm funny. Don't get too depressed.
It's good. No, it's fine. It's a lot of
tidbits, Kathy.
It's
stuff.
Not shit-slinging. It's sort of like a peek behind the curtain.
Yes. Yeah. It's not like, except for Kathy, it's not like this guy's an asshole. It's just
except for Kathy.
It's more just. The insider outsider guy, the guy, you know, and passing through so many different shows. Okay, so I could quit problems. I found that I had high cholesterol, so I stopped what I was eating ice cream every night. I'm self-diagnosing another addictive thing where I would buy the $5 Ben & Jerry's because I love them. Mm-hmm. But if I have them, I eat it all day like a dog. So I would have and then throw it out because I can't have M&Ms or things in my apartment.
Because you eat them?
I'll keep going a dog. Till 4 in the morning, I keep waking.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know how people could just, you know, wrap up a little M&M.
No, I can't do that either.
So basically,
I cannot even start. If I start with the ice cream, I'm going through the M&Ms too.
So if someone says this will make you die, I stop with the ice cream.
Right.
My problem is, unless you could scare me now, I pick scabs, and this is what's scary.
It's all OCD stuff. It's all OCD.
Do you know the show My Secret Obsession? It's all sick things, like I pee on my furniture and I wipe myself up. No, I'm making up what the crazy stuff is.
Yeah.
And I go, there was one who can't stop picking scabs. And my back
looked. Usually people, when you see severe scab picking, particularly on the face.
I don't do that.
I understand.
A cutter. I don't cut to make scabs.
Yeah, but the severe facial scab picking is.
I don't do that.
That's methamphetamine, just so you know.
Oh.
That's meth makes people do that.
I'm a Jewish meth guy. Oh, yeah.
But OCD makes the picky.
But
it's all OCD.
But wait. I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke cigarettes.
No, you're not a drug addict.
So I'm saying, can I have a nervous thing?
Yes.
And so this is my nervous thing. I can't stop picking. My back looks like.
If you'd
like
to have it, you may.
But did you see the movie Black Swan?
Yes.
Her back?
Yes.
Mine looks like that.
Maybe I had to look at it.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me look. How do you get back there? No. That's not so bad. But that's neurodermatitis. Yeah. That's what that is. That's Pickers syndrome.
How can I stop? Because it's not attractive. When I lose my hair, I'm going to have probably. Can you scare me? I had MRSA once. Say it'll come back.
Well, that can happen. Yeah, okay. You can get those little wounds can turn into MRSA wounds and it's bad times. And you're right. When you go bald, you might want to use a little Rogaine on there to prevent that. But yes, you'll have.
I'd like to stop. How could I stop?
Well, all of this. Have you ever been on medication?
I'm now, yes.
Okay, because meds really are usually what to dampen this at least because it is such a – it's almost like a seizuring phenomenon. That's why I think about it. I conceptualize it that way anyway. It's because it's this repetitive circuitry in your brain that just drives
behavior. But I'm being defensive. Can't we have nervous habits?
Yeah, you can. Enjoy. Enjoy.
But I don't – but this one's not making my back look attractive.
So you need to – maybe back to the radio. Maybe that's the answer.
All right.
You should never have cut that cord on the radio.
See, you know, here's a guy. He was trying to be funny and saying the match and Anderson Cooper, and I made it depressing. I'm sorry.
No, it's not depressing. I'm not fascinated. Are you kidding?
I hope. Someone I know, a Twitter fan, a friend, she's an AA, and I told her, I confessed. She goes, replace the behavior. Is that an AA thing?
Yeah. Or, you know, act as if. Or there's all kinds of aphorisms out there that you can follow. But I know how powerful – I have OCD stuff. Uh-huh. I got tons of that. And I know how powerful that is and how difficult it is. Because you if you are not focused on stopping, if you're like zoning out, thinking about something else, you'll be doing it. Your brain will just make sure you engage in that
behavior.
What
do you know about hypnotism?
Yeah, you know, I know there's a lot of good practitioners out there.
Uh-huh.
I see it as more of a short-term solution, not a long-term solution. I don't object to it at all.
Maybe I should take up drinking.
It might be. It'll be your back will clear up. Your face will look better.
All right, I guess I was looking for an instant solution.
No, there's no instant solution. I'm sure there are people out there. UCLA has a whole anxiety institute, anxiety and OCD sort of and phobia institute, where they have all kinds of behavioral interventions and a whole – you plug into a whole team approach. They fully evaluate you. I would recommend it highly if you really want to do something about this. They actually have a – you know, that like a friend of mine has trichotillomania. You know, they pull the hair constantly.
Right.
Send them in. They get better. But it's a lot of work, a lot of time.
Wow.
And it's not like – nothing in behavior. Listen, change is hard. You know what I mean? Any kind of change. And nothing is like a magic. This is why the whole notion of what people do with mental health on television is so flawed. Like that Dr. Phil's going to fix somebody or I'm going to fix it, whatever. On television, you can learn about the things and you can
– Tools.
Not even tools. You can just move – you can just point them in a different direction and say, go for the next 5 years, work on this every day, and then maybe it'll change. That's kind of why addiction is so tough. Again, remember, addiction is a motivational system that's even more powerful than what you're dealing with. And we're saying, okay, now change. You love it more than everything else in your life. Don't do it. Oh, sure.
Oh, so I'm the one making it black and white when I said, oh, an alcoholic. I quit drinking. My life turned around. It's not as simplistic.
Oh, of course. It's hard. But now tell me, now you put out a very fascinating Twitter yesterday about your mom. And I want to get into this. So this, I imagine this is a big conversation. I'm just guessing.
Well, basically – excuse me. In my book, I'm always the nebbish, the go-to Shamil Schmuck, the guy, the bad blind date, the delivery guy.
I would predict that people know hear your voice and know exactly who you are.
A lot of times.
That's how iconic. And by the way, if you
–
just give websites and stuff. If you want to know, it's – again, the book is Maybe We'll Have You Back is the book. You can get it at Amazon. It'll be on my website. Fred Stoller, STOLLER.net is the website. Twitter handle, which I advise you follow, Fred underscore Stoller. And again, you have a new indie film that you wrote.
Oh, it's called Fred and Vinny.
Available on Netflix. I'm sorry, I did not know that. That's very interesting. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break,
sure. And
then we're going to get into this.
Okay.
All right, be right back. Hey, everybody, GoToMeeting. Of course, you know we love those guys. They help us foster teamwork through face-to-face meetings electronically. You can use GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, share the screen work on documents in real time, and get webcam video chat where you can see everybody in HD. And of course, you're aware we've had this contest going. The contest was, if you could meet anyone, living or dead, whom would it be? The guy was thinking sort of Abraham Lincoln or Thomas Jefferson. We had you hashtag Dr. Drew Webcam and hashtag GoToMeeting, and we got a ton of submissions. The winner is going to get a new Logitech HD webcam, of course, to use for GoToMeeting, and we will also send you some autographed show swag. So, if you're ready, the winner of the GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix contest. She chose a meeting with Vincent Van Gogh, and our winner is at Celtic Cariad, CelticCariad. She's a very Celtic-looking young lady, and she wins the Logitech HD webcam. Again, everybody, it's GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix that is providing this for our new winner. And, of course, if you want to use a meeting, head on over to GoToMeeting for 30 days free. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code Drew. Congratulations to at Celtic Cariad. Hey, now it's time to remember our friends at Audible.com. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Of course, they are the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. They have more than 100,000, that's right, 100,000 downloadable titles, all types of literature, including audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers. Of course, you can get my book there, Mirror Effect, Adam's book, not Taco Bell material. And for our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook. That's right, completely free, just if you give them a chance by trying them out. Might consider 2030, The Real Story of What Happens to America by Albert Brooks, one of Adam's favorite authors and favorite actors and writers. So here's what you do. For a free download of your choice, you head on over to audiblepodcast.com/Drew. Again, it's audiblepodcast.com/Drew. Who has the time to sit and read books these days? But you certainly can spend a few hours listening, digesting, absorbing a book. And Audible provides ample opportunity for this. And now you can go for free. For free, simply for giving them a chance. audiblepodcast.com/Drew. Fred Stoller, the book is Maybe We'll Have You Back. Again, those groovy tunes are available at Dr.com and iTunes. So you were starting to tell me a story. We were sort of heading towards your mom.
Okay, so basically, you know, it's the people, the editors, well, why are you always the nebbish? We want some background. So there's stuff in here about my mother. I think it's funny. It's truthful. When I did stand-up, my mother would get mad. I go, it's jokes. No, a lot of truth is in jest.
I heard Howard Stern's mom calling in from a 1994 playback they did this week that they were doing Impressions Week, and his mom called in, and he was just speaking truths. She was, and stuff he says all the time now, by the way, but I guess it was new 20 years ago. Very defensive, very angry.
And, I mean,
by the way, you can see where his pathology comes from.
Well, I've had a bunch. I had a woman I only had a few dates with, so I can't say girlfriend, but she was mad at me. People are protective of my mother without meeting her. Why did you say things that'll hurt her in the book? And it's all just things I didn't say. Again, she threw me off roofs or, you know, or just kicked me in the head.
What'd you say?
Again, just her fear. Like when I was a kid, I always related to like weirdo people. Like, you know, like did you see the movie The Last Picture Show? There was a mentally challenged guy, and I would emulate him, like lying on the floor like I was hit by a truck and pretending I was sweeping. We saw the movie Charlie. Do you know what that was?
Yep.
He's a guy mentally challenged, as they say now, but my mother used to use the R word.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a joke. I used my act. She couldn't believe I quit comedy. I mean, I quit college to be a comedian. She couldn't understand it. This was 30-something years ago. She goes, "You're so depressed. How are you going to make people laugh?" She goes, "I'm not going to tell them you're a comedian. I'm going to say you're retarded." I swear to God, that was easier for her to understand. And she, because now everyone does comedy. So we saw the movie Charlie, and she gave me the newspaper. I held the newspaper, you know, and I dropped it. And she goes, "You're just like Charlie." So she instilled in me there was something wrong. So just negative things. Like all my life, all I heard was, "It's almost over. What do I have? 20 years left." That's what she'd say.
This is all from your mom.
Yeah.
What was your dad like?
He was. My friends used to say, "Does your father talk?" Because he would sit. Now, you know a lot about alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
Are there alcoholics that don't rage, that just sit there and withdraw? Because he would have two martinis and he would just sit. And me and my sister would protect him because he was like
mom?
Yeah, because me and my sister had the same thing where my father, briefly, when I was 5, was having an affair with a woman at work.
Oof.
And my mother kept saying, "Why don't you go with Lillian there? Take Lillian shopping." And I remember I had a Cracker Jack ring. And in front of my mother, I handed it to my father. Go, "Dad, give this to Lillian." I didn't know who Lillian was, but me and my sister had the illusion she was the nurturing mother we wanted. Mm, the
Jesus.
Sweet. The sweet, nurturing, everything
it's
my
like
mother wasn't.
Your childhood was like The Champ. Like I imagine you like a 20s film.
Oh, my
Jackie
God.
Jackie Coogan.
We protected him. He was very – I don't know if he was shell-shocked in Anzio, but he was very sensitive. And he was an artist, so I wonder if he had Asperger's, but he wouldn't say more than a sentence at a time.
Well, it's interesting. You paint something that I can't make real sense of without a lot more information. No, seriously, but it's something. You know
right.
what I mean? It's either depressive withdrawal or like
right.
an Asperger's type thing or something.
Or
PTSD from whatever. He was in the Second World War. Jesus.
Yeah. So he was very – but he would just – again, me and my sister wanted this other woman to –
take you away.
And we always protected him, like my father. Like I saw a shrink in New York and I bring my mother in. She goes, bring your dad. No. So it was almost like he was so fragile.
Mm.
Like, don't confront him. Mm. So but he was great. He was selfless.
Mm.
He wanted a computer with a router and she wouldn't let him. So he was yeah, didn't talk. So he was – it wasn't until my 20s I realized – I thought he was great because he did nothing. Mm. He was negative. Then I realized, well, a dad should take you fishing and teach you right from wrong. So total non-entity, but I thought he was great.
Compared to mom.
Yes. An uncle sent her the last chapter of the book. He cut it out. It's something crazy. He said, only read this.
This book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's a happier ending about my mother. Said, don't read. So people are telling her, don't read. Like, I'm talking freely now because I'm pretty sure my mother doesn't know how to do podcasting or has any clue what it is. So the book, relatives are butting in and saying it'll upset you because it's just how she's very fear-based. And
well, here's my thing, which is that you were defending her, saying she didn't throw you off a roof and she wasn't physically abusive and this kind of thing. And I think we give parents far too much of a pass for horrible emotional abuse that they rain down on kids, like whether it's anxiety about money or whether it's their own fears or their negativity or their envy that you're thriving, whatever it is. you know, parents are very defensive. I didn't do that. My thing is like, no, I'd rather carry around that guilt. I'd rather feel bad about it. I'm sorry if I did it. Maybe I couldn't control it with my own psychology, but I'll feel bad about it.
It's like my AA thing where, like, for example, I saw Macaulay Culkin on a show, Barbara Walters maybe saying, my father hit me, and I said, that's it. I think, yes, kids are more messed up with mixed messages.
Yeah.
Because I would have been better if she hit me in the head.
Yeah, maybe.
And
you could have acted out at least then.
Or just say, you know what I used to do? This is pretty sick. I used to tape phone calls with my mother because I needed validation that she's off. I never trusted my feelings. So, because you're confused, you go, oh, she's sensitive with black people. She's, you know, she's not an ogre.
There's good qualities about her.
Yes. She always likes underdogs. She doesn't like bullies.
Did that create a sort of good mom, bad mom split in your head? Like there's all black or all white thinking?
No, there's not too much good. But I'm saying the thing that messes me up is when people meet her and they think I'm exaggerating. Oh, she's sweet. She's adorable.
Oh, yeah,
and I want
crazy.
That validation. She fucked me up.
Yeah.
So basically that's where it messed me up, where I love when my friend Joel has seen her at her worst. And, hey, Joel, right? Because I'm brought up not to trust my feelings.
Right.
So basically the thing I tweeted you last night is she said I said, you know, look, you know, because there's going to be a book signing in Florida, which anyone listening to this, June 11th, my mother's birthday, in Fort Lauderdale at Books A Million, there's going to be a book signing and my mother will be there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Is that where she lives?
Yes.
You got to stand her up and let her talk.
Oh, well, but she – so
give her a chance. Go, look, hey, Mom, here's your chance.
Yeah. So she – well, first of all, she, because of the book, is seeing a therapist.
Can we call her?
Oh, you want to?
Can we set that up? That'd be fascinating.
All right. We'll give her a call. We'll get her number.
All right. Is that cool with you?
If she's there, okay. She takes buses during the day, random buses to get out.
I just love just to chat
with her. But this is what she said. This is what I want to ask you. She said, the therapist said Freddie should know the truth. Something she feels guilty about. So she alluded it last night. She said that when she was pregnant with me for 5 months, she didn't know she was pregnant. She thought she missed a period because of the flu. Why was she telling me that? And what does that mean?
Should I ask her?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's because she didn't want the pregnancy or something and she feels guilty.
Yeah.
We're writing down the phone number now.
Let me see.
You guys are nervous about this. Why? Chris is.
Why is look, yeah.
You give me that E sign.
Let me see. She's probably taking a bus, but she takes
his
buses.
Phone?
No.
Well, she's on the internet, you mentioned, or at least she knew what a router was. She didn't want your dad to have one.
Yeah, no, she doesn't know how to put a CD in or a DVD.
Wow. She's, how old is she now?
She's going to be 85.
Do you feel guilty harboring all this resentment towards her, this older woman?
Well, people, I don't know if it's resentment. I shut off. I stop trying
you
to change
down.
Her. I shut down. I'm there, but I'm not there.
Okay.
When I'm on the phone with her.
You shut down. Are you a good son?
I'm going to visit her. And
I was trying to convince Corolla that he was complaining about his dad or something, his mom. And I was saying, listen, your job now is you're not going to change her at 85.
But I tuned off. I'm there, but I'm not there.
You're not going to repair all this shit. You probably don't want to expose yourself to more trauma, so why get into it? But you do want to be a good son for yourself, not just for her, but for you, right?
I do, yes. I call once in a while, but to be honest, I get relieved when it's voicemail just to show
okay.
I tried,
all right.
You know.
But you did what you're supposed to do. It's be a good son.
So she's going to tell me the truth. You know.
What's her name?
Pearl.
Okay. What a cute name. What's her background? She said.
Well.
I mean, does she have like family that was in the Holocaust or something? Is that rained down
know,
on
but
her?
When is she there? Let's see.
You talk to her.
She.
We got.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Ma. It's me again.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm here with a friend. If it's okay, he's a psychiatrist.
Well, I'm not a psychiatrist, actually. I'm an internist, but I worked in psychiatry.
What? Wait a minute. I have the TV on.
Okay.
What'd you say?
Hey, I'm here. Do you know who Dr. Drew is?
Yeah.
I was asking, is it okay if I say something that you were saying last night that I was confused? He's helping me with anxiety, I think.
Here's what we're doing. We're doing a podcast where we record what we're doing, and Fred came in, and we're just talking about something you said last night, and I just...
Oh, you mean that I was 5 months pregnant and not aware of it?
Yes, he was really intrigued by that, and I thought,
oh, really?
Yeah, and I thought, well, I don't talk. Can I talk to Pearl? Would she mind talking to me? Why that was important to her, and why you wanted to share that with Fred?
Well, I guess I have a lot of things that I kept within that I feel guilty about, and I think I'd feel better if I disclosed it before I leave this earth.
And the fact that you didn't know about the pregnancy was one of those things?
Well, I don't know. You know, maybe it was my daughter knows, his sister, but I can't think of really why I didn't tell him. Maybe I was embarrassed.
Here's the thing. It doesn't bother him.
Wait, I'm confused. Why would that bother me that you didn't know you were pregnant for 5 months? I was confused.
I'm not sure that's a reason. You know, I watch you on TV almost every night.
Thank you, Pearl. You have any questions for me?
Well, the book, are you bothered by what I said in the book?
No. Why do you twist it?
But because Milton sent you...
I'm very cautious with him because whatever I say, he takes it the wrong way.
Well, Milton sent you... He said, don't read it. You'll upset.
I know you got so upset over that.
My uncle sent her only the last
chapter. You got upset
or
she got upset?
No, I did because my uncle instigated and said, don't read the book. It'll upset you.
Pearl, let me just say that sons and moms, and especially moms and daughters, have a dance that's incredibly intense, and we all do it, and it's one of them things. It's just part of being sons. We're all sons. We're all daughters. We're all, you know, moms and dads, and yeah. We can't help ourselves in these dances.
I'm very cautious because I read in the last chapter when he would call me, I'd say, how are things? And he thought I wanted to, according to what I read, that I guess I never knew what to say with him. I was always so careful. So he missed, according to what I read, he said that I wasn't interested. I only wanted to know how successful he was doing. But that wasn't it. I just didn't know what to say. So I said to him, how are things?
Okay. Well, fair enough.
So, I mean, whatever I say, I made a lot of mistakes. I'm aware of it. I made a lot of mistakes. But, you know, I guess the best thing is to tell him how, you know, all the mistakes I've made.
So that's what you're going to tell me in Florida?
What?
You're going to tell me when I get there the mistakes you made.
Well, you're making a joke on it. I guess I'm just going to tell you, I think maybe you should know.
Okay.
I sent you to private school. That was the biggest mistake.
I thought there was something wrong with me.
No, see,
but no, that's all right. You know, look, the book is humorous. I mean, I tell stories. You know how you always say it's almost over, and you'll come home in a box when I'd want to go somewhere that I'll get murdered.
I guess I was afraid. Do you know that here in Florida there are so many murders that I'm so afraid that if he comes here and he wants to go, there's a 3-hour difference. And when I'm eating breakfast, he's still, you know, it's 3 hours.
Hey, Pearl,
I'm afraid that after we'd have dinner,
he'd go
maybe
out.
He'd be hungry around 10, 11. And I'm afraid of him going someplace.
Hey, Pearl,
getting murdered in Florida because I'm hungry.
Pearl, you never stop being a mom, my dear. You never do. And we never stop being your kids. It's so interesting. My dad had a thing where he'd always go, I need to buy a shirt. Oh, okay, buy a shirt, but then you come visit me in the poorhouse. This is every time for all through my childhood.
Wow.
I was just destroyed by that. And this is the same kind of a thing where it's her anxiety
well,
that
I
gets
remember
transmitted to you.
When I was a kid, we were going to Florida, I raised my hand to the teacher. I go, we're going to drive for 2 days straight. How could you not get into a car accident? So I was afraid. I said that. So I'm saying I picked that up.
Maybe that's the genetics. Maybe that's in the genes. But let me ask you this, Pearl. Where did you grow up?
What is that?
Where did you grow up?
Where did I what?
Grow up.
Oh, in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Where did your family, immigrant family?
No.
Because I've noticed, I bring it up because a lot of my Eastern European friends have this fear.
My father was born here. I think my mother came here at a very early age.
A lot of my Eastern Europeans have fears of kids being stolen and murdered. There's a lot of very intense preoccupations about that in Eastern European cultures and stuff, at least maybe it's survivors of the Second World War or something like that. I don't know what it is, but I've certainly noticed that.
Well, did Fred tell you about his father?
A little bit. I couldn't quite
very quiet.
Yeah, I couldn't quite get a bearing on him. What was up with him?
Well, he was an artist,
yeah,
and very quiet, and I had to make all the decisions. He left everything to me. He worked. He when he came home, he enjoyed his two martinis and would watch TV and have his, you know, he had a lot of pressure at work.
Where'd you meet him?
He was very quiet, very quiet.
Where'd you meet him?
Funny, his mother died, and he, his brother lived in the building that I grew up, and my sister-in-law introduced me to him.
And was it a good marriage?
Yes.
But sum total. Sum total was good. Sum total of the arc of the marriage was good.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a lot of problems because he's gone 4 years.
Oh.
And I always feared that, and I said to him, I'd like to go first. I couldn't survive without him.
But you've done good for 4 years.
Are you okay?
Well, I don't. I still have his clothes. I guess I should tell you, I wouldn't use the bathroom that he used because it brought back memories that he had so many problems. And I didn't go into the den because all his artwork is here.
I'm
starting to do it now. But
what kind of problems did he have?
I guess he had problems with his stomach. In the end, he died of that.
Yeah.
So all these memories. So I didn't go in his bathroom.
One chapter of my book is called "You're Too Depressed to Be a Comedian." Remember, you told me, "How am I a comedian? I'm so depressed."
See, I don't remember saying it, but I guess if you remember,
was
that,
I depressed?
I must have said
I a depressed kid?
Yes, yes. Do you know what? Every year when he was growing up, he would say, "What did I do this year? What did I gain?" And I say, but Freddie, you drove. You learned to drive. He was always very depressed.
Very negative.
He would be going to Comedy Central, and he'd lie on our bed on his stomach. And I'd say to my husband, he's going to make people laugh.
At the Improv, not Comedy Central.
Oh, wow. The Improv.
So I would lie on my stomach, and she was surprised that I would make people laugh because I was lying on my stomach.
No, I remember how you were lying there in our bed, and you... You look so unhappy and depressed.
Wow. So,
did you ever think of getting him treatment?
What?
Did you ever think of getting him treatment?
Oh, yeah.
Very different.
He went.
That's good. He seems to be thriving. First of all, let's stay positive here. You seem amazing. Your brain is 1,000% young and with us, and God bless you for being so sharp. I'm sorry about your husband, but it seems like you are surviving it, even though you didn't think you could. And you have a son who's really thriving in spite of his depression.
And he doesn't share many things with me.
Well,
I had to call Brian today. That's my son-in-law. I made a mistake with something. And he told me I never knew that many things. I don't know why you never shared with me. He told me, I forget, you wrote about Seinfeld. What was that, Freddie?
Well, that's in the book.
You have to read the book, Pearl.
Can she read the book?
Yeah, it's not all about you. There's just one chapter.
No, you know what happened? I have a close brother-in-law. He probably it took it out of proportion when Freddie wrote about me. So he said, maybe you'll get very upset by reading it. He said, but the last chapter, Freddie came to terms and so forth. So he said, I'll send you the last chapter.
Well,
so
let me put it this way, Pearl. Let's put it this way.
What is that?
Think about it this way. Kids experience things in a very intense, big way. And then we as adults carry that experience with us. You should know what his experience was. Whether it's factual or not, it's what the kid in him experienced at the time.
Well, Ma, look, when I was on doing stand-up comedy, you would hide in the living room, covering your eyes, afraid I would bomb. You remember that?
And you listen, I'm not perfect.
I'm afraid to admit bad things. When I got a cat, you'd go, why'd you get a cat, not a girlfriend? you're home on a Saturday night. Why are you home on Saturday night? So I'm afraid things that are make me vulnerable and look like I'm not a success. So that's why I don't tell you everything. You go, why are you home on a Saturday night? What's wrong?
A few years ago. When
I got the cat, you go, why'd you get a cat, not a girlfriend? What's wrong? Why are you settling for a cat?
Well,
So I'm saying, so that's why I don't open up that I'm lonely or anything, because or you hide. You go, what if you bombed? You know, she would hide in the other room, cover her eyes.
Well, I think very poorly of myself, and I couldn't believe that I could have someone so successful as him.
See?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's always, but I'm saying that's why.
But listen,
but she instilled the fear.
No, I know, but listen, it's always about us.
Right.
You know, it's her fear that's transmitted onto you.
Right.
It's your experience of her fear that you're not feeling good about. But here's the deal, Pearl. I'm going to leave you, but I first of all, thank you for speaking to us. I really
do
appreciate it.
You know, I just want to say, I'm surprised you see private patients. You're so successful.
No, this is sort of I do see private patients.
No,
but this is a podcast thing he and I were just doing for his book. This is talking about his book. But let me just say Jesus. You need to talk to her about this being broadcast.
Sure, sure.
It's got to be okay for her. But number one. But number two, here's what I want you to do, Pearl. Now on, when he tells you things that make you anxious, hold back your reaction about your anxiety. Own your own anxiety and just listen to his feelings and let him have them, even if they're anxious or he's doing dangerous things. Whatever it might be, whatever, differentiate what you're feeling. You could even tell him.
Dangerous getting something in Florida.
Well, it's like having a cat, not getting a girlfriend, whatever. Right. You could even say, boy, that makes me anxious. I wish you'd get a girlfriend, but not why don't you? And then go,
you're right.
Yeah, and reflect back to him with, are you lonely? How are you feeling? Just stay with his feelings and then contain your own anxiety, and I think things will be a little bit better.
I should have done that a long time ago. You're absolutely.
Whatever.
It's all me. I'm responsible.
Pearl,
him.
I will not let you do that. I will not let you do that. It's a dance that we all do with our kids, and it's a shared
experience. But look how I almost destroyed him.
I see a very successful, iconic actor in front of me. Thank you for providing him to the world, okay?
All right, and I'm going to enjoy, and you want, I watch you every night.
I appreciate that, Pearl.
Except Friday.
Okay. Thank you for that.
What are you doing Friday?
You're not on a Friday.
I'm not on a Friday. She's absolutely right.
Fan.
Pearl, I thank you. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to Florida.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Pearl. I'm going to go kiss Pearl. I'm going to go to a certain Fort Lauderdale.
Now I feel bad that your fans, I'm a funny guy. I don't want to depress people.
No depression.
Is this entertaining?
I'm about.
Absolutely. I heard you on More Stories, and this is just different.
Okay.
It's not depressing. This is really interesting.
This is what I do. This is my thing.
This is this show.
Yeah.
Okay.
People are going
to
like
it. But I'm funny.
But
I need you. The book's funny.
But I need you to be sure that she understands people are going to listen to this before we post it.
Yeah, I think she's right.
I need you to be super good. Maybe I need to talk to her or something like that, or you guys need something.
Okay, I'll call her.
Because I don't want her to think that was a session or something.
No, I'll explain it.
Okay.
She's not shy about talking about things.
But I understand why people say, oh, what a lovely woman.
Yes, adorable. But you see the fear.
I also understand
why
you
get it. I need
totally
your validation.
I totally get it, Fred. Totally get it. And what's fascinating to me is she sounds identical to Howard Stern's mom. Identical. Same stuff. Coming through.
Really?
Really interesting. Isn't that funny?
So that you get where we
oh, absolutely. Where I have a dose of it.
She's adorable. She's sensitive. Yeah. But at the same time, how the fear. People are murdered in Florida. If I get something to eat, I leave the compound.
Yeah. And if you're 5 years old trying to manage your mom's anxiety, it's shattering.
Yeah.
And that's what parents do. They rain down their shit on their kids. And they don't realize they're doing it. They don't intend to do it. They feel bad. Even 70 years later, they feel bad about it.
She said growing up was a nightmare. And
for her?
And when I went to school, she was reliving the nightmare of school through me. So she instilled in me growing up as a nightmare. But I'm all right. Look, it could be a lot worse. I don't have Adam's your life with the kids and the house with the pool. But look, I get all the lattes I want. I get to complaining. I'm all right.
I feel like I want to do a whole other podcast with Fred. I want to know how you can gain control over that because you have an iconic persona that you should be able to create something for on your own that you own. But people have questions for you. Let's take some calls. This is Jason. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jason.
I was just wondering, Fred, I've heard this story about you and Norm MacDonald, and he kind of like bullied you with your jacket. I thought maybe you could tell us about that.
Right.
Briefly, we were talking about this before that when you know, it was good-natured bullying where Norm and I would play tennis. We would sneak off when I did Norm's show. It's in the book, and we would play tennis. And he has a gambler's addictive personality where he couldn't leave till he beat both me and Artie Lang and couldn't deal it. Artie Lang is fat and was beating him in tennis and throwing rackets. And then we took the tennis matches outside. of Norm's show, where one time I left a denim jacket there in his assistant's car. He doesn't drive. And I kept saying, Norm, where's my jacket? You know, oh, you and that jacket. And he'd wave his hand, ah, that jacket's a piece of shit. And so I never got the jacket back, and I opened up to an unstable date who put on the internet and impersonated me, which is probably a felony. I'm Fred Stolen. Norm stole my jacket, and Norm's assistant called me up. Why are you bad-mouthing Norm on the internet? I wouldn't do that on his. So finally, the assistant brought me the jacket back. So Norm didn't deliberately say, I'm going to steal this denim jacket, but he was, that's Norm. If you, he has a podcast now. He has the same dynamic with his new sidekick where, hey, you're a retard. Hey, I think Norm likes the Howard Stern thing, like I'm the king and these are my Baba Booey schmucks, and he gets off.
Jeez, yeah. you guys behind the glass, can that sound familiar? Anybody around here like wave like that? Anybody?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, here we go. Let's go to Josh. Josh, what's up?
Hello?
Oh. What's up, Josh?
I just had a question for Fred. Do you have your book on audio?
That story is so much like the book. It is on audio. Didn't get the job.
Oh, they wouldn't let you read your own book?
They didn't let. So I put up Facebook a joke. It said narrated to be announced. And then some guy, Ray Chase. It was an oversight. It makes no sense. It's a perfect story. That's my life. When something horrible happens, you go, that sucks. You go, but that's a good story.
But it is available on audiobook?
It's available.
Just
you can
read
get,
by somebody else.
Yes, yeah, someone else is doing Corolla an impression
post,
me.
Why doesn't Corolla post Fred reading his damn book? Have him do the audiobook here.
I'd love it.
We'd need to get the rights from Fred's publisher.
Oh, yeah.
But there is an audio, and I hear it's not bad. Maybe what's your name?
His name is, here he is. Josh.
Hello?
Josh, I'll do a personal one for you.
Oh, really?
Well, I'll do a chapter.
All right, cool. Hey, Dr. Drew, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, can you ask Mike to have Rudy do a podcast also?
That is a great idea. You guys know Rudy? The guy that, Rudy
I know
is
Rudy.
A, yeah, Rudy's a Loveline person, character.
Oh, yeah.
And at least, this is a booking. Rudy and I need to do a podcast. So
yeah,
Rudy needs to be a guest here.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Definitely.
All right.
He might be coming in with Catherwood.
All right.
In a couple
done
days.
And done, Josh. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason.
Great suggestion. All right. Let's talk to Kelly. What's up, Kelly?
Oh, my gosh, Dr. Drew. I'm really nervous. Let me just say that you're an amazing person. And, you know, you made, by doing celebrity rehab, you made me know what rehab was.
Oh,
and
cool.
I felt better about going.
Oh, great.
You know?
Did you go?
And then. I did go.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
You went to celebrity
that
rehab?
Wasn't, that wasn't the beginning of my journey. But my education from that really helped me, you know.
Great.
I have 18 months now.
Congratulations. A big deal.
Yeah, thank you so much. You're a saint. I learn from you and your guests every single day.
Wow, nice.
Okay, but my question is about my mom. My mom is, like, she's bipolar. And she's just really manic all the time. She's also got extreme anxiety disorders. She actually quit her job recently and lost her. Oh my God, I wrote a list. And she lost her health insurance, so now she can't even go and see her doctors. And she doesn't even get dressed anymore. And I think she's also an alcoholic, and she's been sober for like 5 years.
Wow.
But I think she messes with her drugs because she takes so many drugs. I don't even know them all. I mean, I know she takes Valium. I know she takes Klonopin.
Okay, well, Jean, you know drug alcoholics should not be on
yeah,
those. Yeah,
no, I know. And I tell her that, and she says my doctor gives it to me.
Can you go in with her to her doctor?
I could.
And just say she's an addict and she's abusing these drugs, period. And is she going to meetings? Does she have a sponsor?
No, she doesn't leave the house. She's too afraid to leave the house. She's also agoraphobic.
Oh boy, does she need to be hospitalized?
I honestly don't know. I'm really at a loss. I don't know what to do with her.
All right, so
her boyfriend who she doesn't even like anymore.
Yeah,
you know, they have a horrible relationship. She's a hoarder. She chain smokes like 5 packs of cigarettes a day in the house.
Wow.
With like 8 cats and just sh- shit everywhere.
Okay, Kelly, this is a terribly complex situation, right?
You have an alcoholic. I've been dealing with my whole life.
I understand. See, Fred, could be worse, right?
Well, I learned you can't just get the answer in one question.
One phone call, yeah. Right. So here's the deal. She has a physician. She has a team that's taking care of her. You need to call them and report what you're seeing. They may or may not be able to talk to you, but you need to say, hey, I'm very concerned. So we have a bipolar patient who is depressed, who is agoraphobic, who is hoarding, isolating, alcoholic, not in 12-step, relapsing on benzodiazepines, abusing her meds. I mean, this is somebody that, in my mind, needs to be in a psychiatric
hospital. And Kelly needs to take care of herself.
Absolutely, Kelly.
I lived with her for a year, and I finally got out. And, I mean,
Kelly,
my whole first year
of
recovery was with her, and I don't know how I got through it.
It's amazing. But here's the deal. Just know that it sounds like somebody needs to be in a psychiatric hospital. So, you know, just tell the doctors, I think she's gravely impaired. Use that word, gravely impaired, and that I think she needs hospitalization, and they will do so. They have an obligation if they hear that kind of thing, to follow through, number one. Number two, you need to start going to Al-Anon as part of your recovery.
Do they have, like, Al-Anon for mental people? I mean,
you just go to – you'll find that you know, a lot of people's loved ones have dual diagnosis, so you'll find some like-minded people there as yourself. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Kelly, good luck. Call me back.
Thank you so much.
Check back in with you. This is a big one, so good luck.
I totally will.
Yeah.
Love you.
Okay, buddy. See ya. Well, Fred, that brings us back to the end of our journey.
Wow. I am, again, I just hope the people out there aren't as wiped out as I am. I know. I hope. But you were very, very, very helpful.
You're a great guest.
Thank you.
You're a great
so
guest. This is a great book. I recommend it highly. Maybe we'll have you back. And now, here's the thing about now having spent an hour with you, people are going to want more time with you. And this is the way to do it, is this book.
Thank you. Yeah.
And now knowing your mom and knowing everybody, people
are going
to be.
And it's fun and lighthearted. It's Matt LeBlanc. It's not all my mother.
No. Listen, I've read some of the stories. It's not shit-slinging, but it's funny, interesting behind-the-scenes stuff. You really take people. And you've been on all these different shows and all these different sets. And, is that you?
Yes. That? In 72, I think.
Oh, my God. You were
13. A skinny kid.
Where is that? Is that in Brooklyn
still? Brooklyn, Sheepshead Bay, where I.
Oh, my God.
To the same
$15 for your first gig, 1979.
Jade Fountain, New Jersey. Wow. But again, I'm always looking for validation. And you gave me some that could mess you. You know what I'm saying? That's what messes you up when it's not black and white. When you go, oh, she's sweet. But
no, it's a dance. It's a complicated thing. You got to own your piece.
And maybe I'll tell you what the truth is. I'll come back on one of your things. I never did. Maybe I'll come back. Hey, I'm coming back. No, I'm just saying.
I want Fred back. Welcome again.
I want to tell you what the truth will be when I see her. She's going to tell me the truth.
Okay,
Florida.
Okay, after the Florida gig, we got to get you back here and finish. Hear the rest of the story.
Yeah. I mean, I won't leave the compound after because there's a lot of murders in Florida.
FredStoller.net is the website. Twitter is @Fred_Stoller, Stoller. Maybe we'll have you back. Click through, get that book at Amazon. Fred, fantastic.
Thank you so much.
It really fun.
Amazing.
We'll see you guys next time.
I'm sure it'll be.
Corolla Digital.